The Russian passed me the Kalashnikov and slipped into the harness, then ascended to the helicopter. Again, the empty harness came down, though now there were occasional bursts of heavier rounds coming from down the slope of the hillside, as evidenced by tracer fire that would sometimes go tumbling by in the night. It would be immediately answered by the far heavier fire of the minigun, but guard couldn't possibly keep the chopper there for long.
Harry!
Michael said, offering me the harness. I was about to take it, but by chance I looked up and saw guard looking down at us through the plexiglass bubble around the pilot's seat, looking at Michael with an absolutely unnerving intensity that I had seen on her face once before, and my heart started hammering in terror. The last time she'd looked like that, I'd been in an alley outside Bach Ordered Books back in Chicago, and a necromancer named Corpse Taker and a ghoul named Li Jean had been about to murder me. A few minutes later, guard had told Marcone that she had seen that it was my fate to die then and there. The only reason that I survived it was that Marcone had intervened. But even if I'd never seen that look on her face before, I figured that any time a Valkyrie hovering over a battlefield suddenly gets real interested in a particular warrior, it ain't good. I'd made the grasshopper a promise. If things were about to get hairy for whoever was left on the ground, it wouldn't be Molly's dad that had to deal with it. You first, I said. He started to argue. I shoved the harness into his chest.
Damn it, Michael!
He grimaced, shook his head at me, and then sheathed Amarachius. Still holding Fidelachius in his hand, he shrugged quickly into the harness. I gave Lucio the thumbs up and Michael began to rise. Guard frowned faintly, and some of my screaming tension started to ease. Tessa and Rosanna came out from behind veils that were as good as anything Molly could have done, and I didn't have to be Sherlock to deduce who had done the lion's share of the work on the greater circle that had contained the archive. I had half a second to act, but I got tangled in the strap of Sonya's gun, which she'd handed me so that I could defend myself in case I was suddenly attacked. Thank you, Sonya. Tessa, her pretty human face showing, her eyes gleaming with manic glee, swept a mantis claw at my head, and I at least managed to interpose the rifle before she ripped my head off. Only instead of smashing the gun as I'd expected, she ripped it out of my hands, just as easily as taking candy from a baby, and spun away from me. Then she winked at me, blew me a kiss, and opened fire on Michael with the Kalashnikov on full automatic from no more than 10 feet away. My friend didn't scream as bullets tore into him. He just jerked once in a spray of scarlet and went limp. Fidelachius tumbled from his fingers and fell to the ground. Sparks flew from the Huey as the bullets tore into it too, and a burst of flame and smoke poured from a vent on one side of its fuselage. It dipped sharply to one side, and for a second I thought it was simply going to roll over and into the ground. But then it recovered drunkenly, gathering momentum like a car sliding down an icy hill, still dragging my friend's unmoving body on the trailing cable like a baited hook at the end of a fishing line, and vanished into the darkness.